We come into your presence, oh God, with conviction upon our hearts. For our prayer is not the sacrifice of fools. We have felt your reality. The strength of your finger puts pressure upon our soul. And we stand in your presence to glorify you. Let the voice of our lips be accepted in your sanctuary. And let your fire be released from above. Let everyone take a portion home today. Oh my God. Jesus. Hey.
Like a wild wind.
range of technocrats in the landscape of the New Testament that God released to the body of Christ in order to ensure that the body will grow in a particular shape. Hallelujah. Three major people. So many guys were anointed in the book of Acts of the Apostles. We saw the ministry of Apollos. It was as if he just appeared out of nowhere like Elijah. And the Bible revealed that he was a man that was mighty in world. But his revelation was short-lived because he knew only as much as the baptism of John. Hallelujah. Mighty people. The Bible speaks about a prophet that came all the way from Antioch. His name was Agabus. He was a man that had a calendar of the things that are yet to come. And when he came and he opened his lips, the wisdom of God was made manifest, and the counsel of God in a future time was revealed. Mighty people in Scripture, strategic people with mighty grace and great anointing upon their lives. But when we look critically, we see three men, three technocrats, I want to call them, that are pillars in the New Testament and gave the New Testament thought shape and pattern. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
You see, the time has come for us to get to know the true God. Amen. And to know him for yourself. So that if one testifies about him in such a way that is not consistent with that which you have seen in Scripture, you have the right to reject that testimony. The church has to come to that point where we know between that which is fake and that which is original. Because the time in which we live are strange times. The devil is working overtime to see to it that a day will come and a generation will be manifested that people will bow to a God that the Apostle Paul does not know. And so there's major renovation going on in the area of doctrine and teaching and that which is known in the mainstream church. But it's needful for us to understand that the devil can never take God unawares. Before the devil tries to do, in fact, if God allows the devil to do something, it is because he wants to use his resources to accomplish his purpose. The Bible says that had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And because the secret was that Jesus said, if by any means I get to be lifted up, then I'll draw all men unto me. But there was a condition attached to that reality, because somehow he was not responsible to lift himself up. Someone else must have to do the job of lifting him up. Hallelujah. Guess who lifted him up at the end of the day? It was the devil. It was the devil that completed the circuit that created a path for salvation, and he authored it by the devil's help. There is a dimension of wisdom that goes beyond the mind. It goes beyond your meditation and preconceived notion. It is something as eternal as ancient. And when it manifests in its first appearance, it looks like foolishness. But the Bible says that the foolishness of God, just in case you find any, is wiser than the wisdom of man. The time has come for the church to manifest the manifold wisdom of God. And we will need to step higher. Please help me tell your neighbor, step higher. For many days, years in the body of Christ, preaching and teaching has been reduced to the receipt of keys. Key number one, key number two. And a time comes when the key holder becomes burdened with so many keys, and you do not know which one to apply. But when Jesus taught, he brought the very mysteries of heaven to the comprehension of the normal man that walked the streets of Israel. Because he spoke by the mouth of wisdom. He made demands on a well that could never run dry. I know a life that you do not learn in the classroom, an understanding that you cannot gain in the library. It is all together in heaven and of heaven. And this day, if we are going to stand ahead of the onslaughts of the kingdom of darkness, then of necessity we must understand what true wisdom is. Hallelujah. Before I go on, I would like you to take an inventory of your life. The last 5 years, the last 10 years. Is it true that you have made significant progress in the area of your call and ordination by God? Because just in case you are not making progress on in the area of your call, it means the cunning craftiness of Satan has been able to get the better part of you. And maybe the reason for your not complying with God's speed or God's progression for your life is a particular hardship that has become the bone of contention in your life. If only this mountain could be taken away. If only this thing could be raised. But the Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist and until now, the kingdom of God is preached, and men press them their way into it. Nothing changed in their circumstance. They just discovered a new sequence of priority and found out that the kingdom of God has to be of utmost priority. And then they configured and aligned themselves to take on that template. And suddenly, the very things that it was as though they left to pursue God began to come in their own time. And in a sequence that they had capacity in God on the inside to handle and to administer within the context of God's purpose for their lives. Please help me tell your neighbor that Adam did not lose his post in Eden. Mainstream preaching has revealed to us and has emphasized so much about the fact that you need to get something, you need to gain something. But when we find this, the situation of Adam, it was not his post he lost. Please help me preach again. It was not Adam's post that got lost in Eden. And all of these things are shadows and types that the devil has brought and has used to replace the excellency of his glory. For any man that will fulfill destiny must make Christ his unique goal. I welcome you to a new day, a new time in God. Exciting days are here, and it's good to be alive. Hallelujah. Can you thank the Lord for the grace to be alive? Thank God I'm alive today. So many accidents. I was caught up in one. I almost got swallowed, but thank God I'm alive. Several times the devil took off like a wild wind. I could not even detect his direction because he was everywhere. But thank God, I'm alive. If we spend more time glorifying his majesty, maybe we'll have access to more of his reality. Because many of us are so full of our situations and circumstances that we don't even know what true worship is anymore. While we were singing, some people felt we were wasting time. My God, 30 minutes is gone. 35 minutes gone. The first thing that will be undone in eternity is time. Because the entire eternity is not sufficient for us to factor into its reality. I welcome you to a new day. A new season under God. A new time and a new hour. Just worship Jesus in the next 2 minutes before I continue. Worship him. He's worthy of worship. If your eyes were to be open and you peep into heaven, you will see so much beauty. His brilliance. His glory. And his power. As we begin with you tonight and run for the next 7 days, let all of heaven come down. Let all of heaven come down. Let all of heaven come down. Let every man make contact with reality. Let none in our company be lost. Show us the true priority and the clarion call of the Spirit, that we might be wise. Give voice to him that is dumb. Grant hearing to him that is deaf. By all means, let your name be glorified. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
from far, who have come from near. Because we heard the sound and we got knowledge of your coming. And so unto you shall the gathering of your people be. Unto none else should men gather. For every throne is a hypocritical place. None is like that which you have. Every man is a charlatan. For you are eternal, the God of all flesh and the Father of all spirit. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Yes, now we did it right. You can sit now. We actually did it right this night. Many times we come into his presence not knowing that we need to prepare before we offer something to him. Hallelujah. I said there are three characters and three technocrats in the New Testament. These three people gave design and pattern to scripture. And the work that God did in their lives were quite significant and determined the very landscape of the Acts, the book of Acts of the Apostles, and beyond. Amen? The first in this number is Peter. And I would like us to understand the critical moment that Jesus encountered each and every one of them. It was significant to their destiny. It was significant to that which they were called to do. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Peter was a fisherman. His first point of encounter with Jesus was by the lake called Gennesaret. And you know the story. How that he had toiled throughout the night and caught nothing, and then Jesus showed up. Amen? So that was his first encounter with Jesus. He was a fisherman. And you see, Jesus came and Jesus transformed him, but Jesus did not change him. A man once said that all I learned in kindergarten. Because subsequently, the very things that he learned were applied on a different level. But the same stuff. Just like David being a shepherd, now comes to shepherd a nation. It's the same principle, but in a different context. He being a fisherman, and when Jesus came and encountered him, Jesus changed him and made him a fisher of men. Hallelujah. So when Jesus encountered that man called Peter, what Jesus did to him was to make him apply what he was on another level, another plane. And Peter eventually became a mighty apostolic evangelist. And his call and his passion was to open the gate of the kingdom to the Gentiles and to the Jews. If we look at the scripture in the book of Matthew where Jesus spoke about giving the keys of the kingdom, it was actually Peter that received that key for the church. And we see him utilizing the key on the day of Pentecost to open the gate of the kingdom to the Jews. And in the book of Acts the Apostle chapter number 10, he opened the gate also to the Gentiles. So his was to open, because he was playing the role of a fisherman, bringing people into the kingdom. He got so anointed that he didn't need to hold a service for men to be healed. He just strolled from main town to a yonder place in the evening time, and his shadow had the capacity to quicken the sick and to cure them that are afflicted. Because he was the fisherman in spirit application. And when we met the man called Paul, quite significant technocrat in the New Testament, the Bible revealed that his natural trade was to make tents. And when God encountered him on the way to Damascus, it was a pivotal revelation, because the first thing that Paul encounters when Jesus makes himself known to him was the concept and the reality of the body of Christ. Because Jesus said, "Why do you persecute me?" So he could see the concept of the all-inclusive me. He could see Jesus in every believer of him. Are you still with me now? And so when this man fully settled in his destiny, God, taking advantage of his trade of tent making, made him to become a technocrat with the skills and tools to build the church. And in the wilderness of Arabia, what he saw was a revelation of the destiny of the church. And when he came out of Arabia, one of his best books that I like reading, the book of Ephesians, where he was given utterance from God to write down the content of that which he saw concerning the church in Arabia, because previously he prayed that the church should ask God to give him utterance. The utterance that he sought came to him, and that was what he used to write the book of Ephesians. And he spoke about the church, the massive spiritual tent that God is building, and the destiny of that tent. He was a tent maker. But if we look critically and study the life of John the Beloved, John was mending his net with his father Zebedee when Jesus encountered him. His was the ministry of a mender. And he was the one, because of the strategic nature of his ministry, that was allowed not to die the death of martyrdom. God was interested somehow, I believe. Well, it's my opinion, though. It is not scripture, it's just my opinion. He was interested in revealing himself to the Johns. Revealed himself to John the Baptist as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And then he preserved John the Beloved in the Isle of Patmos to give him the concluding revelation. At that time, towards the end of the ministry of Paul, Paul identified that false doctrine and false brethren had come into the body of Christ and have wreaked havoc on the body. So much so that he did not have the prophetic capacity sufficient to detect the extent of the damage that was done. And that was why he said, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." Because that which God had graced him to build was on that set. It was John that was kept, the mender, that knew how much damage was done to each church. And he had the capacity and the wisdom from God to recommend a solution. His ministry was strange, because in order for John to operate as a mender, he was called into active ministry at a time where the devil has ravaged the body of Christ. And that was why he was given a superfluous capacity and grace for discernment and of prophecy, to see how far the devil has gone and to prescribe solution to each church and each congregation. His ministry began by him taking a look at the original sample, so that if he sees the counterfeit, he will be able to identify it. That was why the book of Revelation began with a massive revelation of Jesus. John the Beloved had always perceived Jesus to be a being of time. He had always known him to be Jesus of Nazareth, one that was factored into time. But God wanted to help him and to shift his paradigm to understand the true reality of this eternal being. That was why Jesus introduced himself as the Alpha and Omega, just to make John understand that I existed before you knew me. And in order for you to gain entrance into my reality and capacity, that miniature revelation that you have been carrying has to weary out and wear out under the strain of my reality. When John was encountered with this truth, he fell like a dead man. I was thinking that Jesus would have been passionate to him and then reduced the frequency and momentum of the revelation. And Jesus touched him and quickened him and said, "I am the first and the last." My God, because he was the mender. It was after that encounter that he received the prophetic ability to write, because his writings thereafter reflected the past, the present, and the future. Doesn't have the capacity to become obsolete, because it reaches into the heart of God and identifies his purpose. It reaches into the present time, then he sees the chaos, but he also sees into the future, that when all is said and done, God will still reach his end. It was in this spirit that he rises up to write to the churches. To the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. Then he brings a part of the revelation of Jesus that he has encountered. Having diagnosed their condition, he recommends to them an adequate solution. It's as if he was crystallizing the truth of God into little capsules to administer to an ailing church. And every part of revelation and bit of revelation that he gave to the churches was a revelation of Christ.
even though we need the ministry of the fisherman, like that of Peter, the ministry of the tent maker, the builder, like that of Paul, much more. In this day and time, we need the ministry of John. Men that can see the extent of havoc and receive wisdom from God as to how the church will go beyond it.